Too many people trying to help you?
Yes.
Too much empathy?
Yes, yeah. Too much empathy. I'm like, leave me alone. I can do it on my own. They're like, no, you actually can't.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women. This season, hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, are on the lookout for the good life, a life that sometimes seems elusive, one of beauty, joy, creativity, and fun.
We have a hunch it might involve learning to think about life as a work of art and finding our place, not as the artist, but as the canvas. It's getting real. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women. Let's go.
Today, we're here with an author, speaker, wife, mother, Rebecca Lyons. She has written several books, but her most recent one is called You Are Free. Be who you already are. Today, we're going to talk freedom, the freedom that we're all in search of. Many of us honestly don't feel free to be ourselves and measure ourselves up against other women. How tall? What kind of car? Whether you work? Did you nurse your baby? How you delivered your baby? I mean, all of this leaves us exhausted and weighted down. But living life as art requires that we are free to be who we actually are without apology. We're going to talk to Rebecca today about her own struggle for freedom through a panic disorder and into a life that she loves as an author who advocates for the freedom of women. This is The Art of Freedom.
Well, welcome to IKR, Rebecca. We are so happy to have you with us today. I thought I'd start by first just telling you a tiny bit about a conference we were at last week. It's not faith-based in any way. One of the big takeaways that we heard, which I thought, oh, that reminds me of your book, was that the key to creating great, valuable products and media was to just be yourself. Do you agree with, hey, really knowing who you are is a key to the things that you will do in your life and through your life that matter? Would you agree with that?
I would agree that God handcrafted us in our mother's womb and that his works were wonderful. And so with that understanding is that he did instill in us these innate gifts. And I believe that those are attached to the plans and purposes that he has on our life. I mean, we can certainly navigate our own path, and which many women do. We can certainly be the master of our own destiny. But I do think the greatest joy is found when we submit under the plan and purposes that God lays out for us, and we walk in that in obedience. And so you're still being who you already are, meaning already are in my mind is that be true to the God-given birthright that has been given you. Talents would be these birthright gifts, the things that are effortless for you that you probably did when you were 8 to the point of driving people crazy. You know, like I was called Becca Book as a kid. We didn't have a TV till I was in high school. And so I learned about life through the power of story. And I never knew that readers make writers. I had never even designed or imagined that I would be a writer until midlife. And so I just think that's so fun that God even put me, he gave me a passion for words. And that comes really naturally for me. Crafting a sentence is really exciting for me.
Rebecca, I feel the same way. And I think what you're saying, I mean, Latasha and I are looking at each other because it really links to what we're doing this season on the podcast.
So this is season 2 of IKR. And there is an idea that we are, at best, we're a canvas. And in the hands of a master artist, the master artist, he creates a masterpiece. And sometimes, and I resonate with what you said earlier, sometimes we decide that we are going to be not only the canvas, but the artist, and that just doesn't work. that's not a,
we're
it's
gonna
not
paint
a good
our own
look.
Picture.
Yeah, we're going to paint our own picture.
Right.
There's actually an artist who is in the business of creating masterpieces, and he wants to create one in you. So I completely resonated to what you said.
So, Rebecca, what prompted you initially? Like, what were the stirrings really deep in your own heart behind the book? Like, not necessarily anything you even say in the book, but just your story with God about what made you want to write this?
So, well, the first one was more Chronicles of Crash and Burn, and it's really God getting very loud in my life and me surrendering to his plans. So what was real fun about that is through that journey of me moving to New York and through panic disorder and then a healing journey beginning out of that. So I knew my talents, and I think a lot of the world does learn that. And that's probably a lot of what your conference talked about. But what we don't often talk about is the burden. And I think the burden is almost a God-given responsibility. And so that fed into the second book on freedom, because with freedom comes responsibility. Mm. And that's the poignant part of the freedom message. A lot of times people say freedom really is for you to live to your own end, your own indulgence. Mm. Like, it's my life, I can do what I want to do.
Right.
And yet the faith-filled side of this is like, my freedom actually has been entrusted to me to serve one another in love. It comes with a great amount of responsibility. And so with that responsibility, if I've been gifted with the talent to write or communicate publicly, then I'm going to use that for the things that break God's heart. Our burdens are often attached to our own story, the life we've lived, the story we've walked, the family we were born into. It's the things that broke our heart. And so I had my first special needs child at age 26. So that's advocacy for special needs children is a huge burden that I want to use my voice for, my gift. And then mental health is also part of my journey and my story. And so I want to use, again, the gifting to be an advocate in these areas, be one who encourages, be one who educates. How do we serve other people mm-hmm. in the areas that break our heart?
Hmm. That's really interesting. And I like how you use the idea of your history and the things that break your heart that bring you to passion and to purpose. Can you share with us a bit of a story around how you have worked through experiencing panic disorders and kind of walking that out, and even where you are now as it relates to that?
Absolutely. So my first panic attack was in 2010, and then kind of concluded in the end of 2011. I went through a season where it was pretty much daily. And so it was about a 15 to 18 month journey of panic disorder. And then one night I cried out to God, rescue me. I cannot do this without you. And in that moment, something shifted in my heart. There was a real surrender in my spirit that just said, I can keep fighting against this fear, or I can just give it to you and just say, you're going to have to walk me into healing. And I trust mm-hmm. you for that. I trust you for that in advance. And so that this now has been a 7-year journey of walking that out. And I think that's part of healing, right? It's it's progressive. You keep walking into new places of faith, and you're strengthened from that.
Absolutely. I agree. For something that you're dealing with, such as a panic disorder, there must be particular things that might trigger that. Can you take me to what would trigger that for you? And now, if you encounter that same type of trigger, what happens now?
For me, the trigger was claustrophobia. And ultimately, the fear behind claustrophobia is a feeling of being trapped. Mm-hmm. And so it can come from a traumatic incident, or it can come from a chronic, lifelong feeling of being trapped on some level. It doesn't have to be literal. It can be a metaphor. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, whether you are in a relationship, or you are in a setting, or you are in some sort of context where you felt like you were powerless. And so now, I mean, when I moved to New York, all those things were triggered. We moved to Manhattan from the South. I was always around, 8 million people in the span of 11 miles. Mm-hmm. I would get trapped on the subway or an elevator. So that's what triggered it. And nowadays, the only time it really ramps is if I find myself in a real enclosed space that I wasn't expecting. It's one thing if I'm planning for it. I know I'm going to use the restroom on an airplane. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's more just if something unexpected happens and like the elevator just doesn't open, something will be in that moment triggered. And that happened the day before my book came out in February.
Wow.
It's like my freedom book's coming out tomorrow, and I'm literally trapped on an elevator.
Wow.
And the irony of that is not lost on me. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind
absolutely.
Of is a lesson to go, okay, so what are you going to do in this moment? And mm-hmm. I think for me, what I do is I still just kind of whisper words of prayer mm-hmm. and scripture during that season, or during that moment even. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to begin this next book with this story where I literally get locked in a bathroom in an abandoned house in Carmel. It's like this crazy story.
Wow.
And the coolest thing about that story, though, is there was no way out. And mm-hmm. I finally look up, and there's this tiny little window. And you better believe I shimmied my way up on the toilet and tried to hoist myself out of that window. And the one thing I felt discouraged, like, have we not made any progress in 6 mm-hmm. years? And the biggest thing that I felt the Lord say in my heart was, you can focus on the fact that you will still feel fear, or you can focus on the fact that I'll always make a way of escape.
Man. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. So I want to encourage people who feel like they find themselves in places that they are powerless to, or that they feel trapped. I do believe that God says, I'm your ever-present help in any moment of trouble. Do you trust me in those moments to kind of bring release? Or do you just fight and claw and, you know, beat against the door? And so I think there's a surrender that has to be a continual posture when we walk into places that we're uncomfortable.
There were two big things that I came out of the conference that we went to thinking about for women in general. I already mentioned the one, and you're just kind of making me hit on the other one again. And the big answer to, hey, how do we become women who can use our voice and can walk in our freedom? And of course, it wasn't said exactly like that. But the answer at the conference, which I would strongly disagree with, is get control, take control, and don't give up control at any cost.
Yeah,
I would strongly disagree with that. I actually think that's a recipe for a lack of freedom. But in so many ways, we are told to be in control. And as I listen to your, you know, just your recounting how you feel in the moments where, you know, the claustrophobia takes a hold of you, it's sort of that notion that I can't do anything about this. I am not in control. I am powerless. Yeah. I think in as much as we buy the answer of our own control, we sort of stay in the place where we're not free, because that is not the answer, right?
It works for a season.
It does.
Right.
But then it doesn't. And the thing about women who live in control, I really wonder how many of them are suffering from anxiety. It's rampant now. And I have find that my anxiety really ramps when I'm striving, when I'm hustling, when I'm proving, when I'm earning, when I'm competing and comparing. And none of those things are good for the heart. God's like, do you trust me to actually accomplish the work that I've set in motion from the beginning? Or are you going to try to get ahead of me? And if you do, you'll still kind of have a relapse, because we were not made to be masters of our domain. We were made to worship, not be worshiped. And so I think that is going to be a cultural narrative. And the kingdom of God is going to always be the reverse of that. It's going to always be an upside down perspective. And I know it's not a popular message, possibly, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with walking the narrow way, because I know that there's faithfulness in it. There's perseverance in it, and there's longevity. And I would much rather live a quieter life that I can still write when I'm, Lord willing, 90. Then run hard and fast and literally lose my family, lose my marriage, because I just decided that I was the one who dictated what success needed to look like.
Well, it's just hitting me that, I mean, this is precisely and exactly the opposite of John 15:5 that says, I am the vine and you are the branches.
That's right.
This is the voice of God. Yeah. I am the vine and you are the branches. And only if you remain in me and I in you will you bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing.
Do nothing. No.
Nothing. That means no thing.
That's right.
Right? You can do nothing of value.
I think what you're saying is so much a part of my story. I was raised by a single dad who raised me to be fiercely independent and to be able to do it on your own. As a matter of fact, my dad taught me early how to change a tire. And these are like physical lessons, but it created in me, it planted a seed of learning how to be extremely independent and in control all the time. And we work at a church, and it shattered the moment that I walked in here. The whole idea that I had to do things by myself was completely, I spent my first year on staff in
crying, in tears.
Yes, because I...
Too many people trying to help you?
Yes.
Too much empathy?
Yes, too much empathy. I'm like, leave me alone. I can do it on my own. They're like, no, you actually can't.
I just told Latasha this. I have to ask you, because we're on this topic. Yesterday is the first time I've totally broken down in tears, and I explained why. But I said it was the first time in a long time. So I'll ask you, Rebecca, when's the last time you totally broke down in tears, and what was it about?
Yesterday, because I'm writing.
Oh, you too.
I didn't cry yesterday.
Latasha, get on board.
I know. Yeah. I'll cry by the end of the day.
Yeah. And you know, I believe that tears are a holy moment. Not every part of our lives are easy. There are certain moments that are going to come in that are going to be unexpected and painful. And I think it's a grace, because it's showing us that all is not well. And it gets us focused on away from the things that maybe we saw as valuable. And it forces us to look at the things that we didn't consider valuable. And then it allows that freedom to actually flourish, because we're now awakened with empathy in a new area. Of all the people you probably interview, I cry a lot. And I don't want to. It's not like I choose to, obviously. But I just feel that the God just gives me a sensitivity for things. And if it comes, it just comes. And I've learned with grief, you just let it come and then it'll pass and you'll learn from it. Mm-hmm. You can't know freedom if you don't know bondage. And part of knowing bondage is just the practice of heart examination, right? Mm-hmm. And so many people charge forward and they're trying to improve things, but they're never really asking the question of like, what's missing? What's broken? What are the things that make me cry or tear up? Or where are the pressure points? A lot of times we don't stop long enough to consider those things.
Take the time that you need to actually examine your own heart, yes. Your own life. Just take some time to be reflective about what's really going on. Because as you mentioned earlier, I think we do get caught up, I think especially as women, because we tend to, I think the reality, honestly, is that women are the relational glue in a lot of situations that holds friendship groups and family groups and work groups together. And I think we can fall into the hustle of what we need to take care of in our life and the glue that we need to be for others and the things that we need to get done today. And frankly, taking the time to reflect on how you feel about all that and how you're really doing.
Yeah. Exactly. The first chapter of this new book is called Take Inventory. And the idea is it's never too late to reestablish what you want your life to be about. And I do think, obviously, if you have faith, you're going to bring these things before the Lord. If you don't, where I would begin is just saying, go to the people who have known you the longest, who really knew you as a kid, knew what these talents and burdens might be. And then I would just ask you to just, if you're open to exploring God, invite him in. You can still talk to God. I mean, you don't have to have a degree in prayer. Like anyone can just, it's just an ongoing conversation. So if you believe that he is real, you could certainly just talk to him. For me, journaling is a huge step first thing in the morning. I believe that like everything that's subconscious comes out. And so the pain and stress and struggle that you typically aren't aware of later in the day, you're more in tune with it right when you wake up. And so that's a real good time for heart examination, taking inventory of things.
So would you give our listeners a challenge for the week? Maybe something they could do in half an hour or less this week. How would you encourage them to do that?
Oh, yes. Okay. This is great. So there's four questions I always answer. What's right? What's wrong? What's confused? What's missing?
Have you answered that for yourself today or yesterday? Something recent? Give us your what's right, what's wrong today.
Okay, I love it. Okay, so what's right today is my closet is clean for the first time in about 6 months.
So victory!
I did stay up till about midnight because I was so tired of not being able to find anything.
Great. Love it.
What's wrong in general in my life, and I'm working out of this, is that I say yes to too much and too short of an amount of time. I don't have enough margin between commitments. So I find myself continually kind of running from the next thing, not completely like having a little buffer to breathe deep. Confused is when I'm writing in general. So I'm in full on book mode. I've got about 3 more months that I'm writing every day. So usually what's confused is what I just haven't had time to really focus on yet. And so because I don't have clarity, I mean, I know where I'm going, but I don't really know. In writing, you have an outline and you're all excited about it, but then the writing reveals stuff that you didn't know was going to come out. So I would say what's confused is, what will this actually look like in the end? But I'm okay with that. I just need to not stress about, you know, 20 chapters from now. I need to just stick with what I know for today. And then what's missing, honestly, I think, is just more space for quiet. I'm carving that in. But with a lot of deadlines, that gets challenging in certain seasons. So I love it, though, for daily, because I could say, well, what's missing today is that last night we were running between swim and golf, and we have a board meeting today. Like, we haven't really had fun laughter as a family since, like, Saturday, which is fine. But now, you know, tomorrow will be Wednesday. So how do I just get extra long combos with the kids before bed, you know, something like that.
Well, and what I love, first of all, thank you for telling us about your day. I just appreciate you answering those. Yeah. And it just gives a glimpse into your life as well. And what I love is that even in answering those, I can pick up on themes. I'm sure you did as well. You know, it when we just take the time to take that inventory, it's easier for God to show us a thread, show us a through line, lead us to someone or something or his word that will address that theme for us. And until we slow down and answer questions like these, it's hard to pick up on those themes. It's hard to see the through line of margin and laughter and deep breathing and, you know, things that I heard you say. Well, but when you answer those, it's a little bit easier to pick up on what's the big picture idea that maybe God wants to move me toward or do with my life in the answers to these questions. So thank you.
Yes.
And thanks for sharing those with us. I definitely think that'll be our listener challenge for the week, right?
I can't wait.
Wake up one morning early and answer answer Rebecca's what's right, what's wrong, what's confused, and what's missing. Mm-hmm. And Latasha and I are going to be doing that as well.
I can't wait.
Love it.
Well, thank you. You know what? We want you to have margin.
Yes.
So
we want
thank you for your time. Take a deep breath.
Thank you.
Make your kids laugh. And
before we go, do you just mind just sharing with our listeners a little bit about your book, the website, your social media, how people
can find you? Obviously, you're likable.
Yeah,
so they're going to want to know more about you.
You're so sweet. It's just my name, right? It's not that creative. So you can find me at Rebecca Lyons, and my spelling is a little different. It's Rebekahlyons. And you can find that handle on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Fortunately, I got on before I had to add weird numbers to my name. So it's just my name.
Rebecca Lyons.
And then
great.
My website is just RebeccaLyons.com. And then the free book, as well as the first book, Free Fall to Flyer, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
Nice. And what about your new book? When's that coming out? And do you have a title, or do you need to finish writing it and then name it?
I have a title, but I'm not sharing it yet because it's a working title.
Gotcha.
So it will come out fall of 19.
Okay, nice. Excellent.
Yes. Well, Lord willing.
Yes,
if I get it finished by the end of this year, then that's the
You'll be a half step out of your PJs for the next 3 months while you finish it, right?
Exactly. Well, everything's stretchy pants right now. So.
I understand. I have like 4 different versions of stretchy pants.
Absolutely. I wear mine at work.
Some are suitable for going out and most are not. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
But then sometimes we still wear them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely. Latasha's like, yes, I do.
I'm like, just throw on a long t-shirt and put on a hat.
Right. Some jewelry. It'll be cute. It's a new style.
When you're cute in anything,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Do it like you did it on purpose, man.
Oh, yeah. Just rock it.
That's right. Thank you so much
for your time.
This was awesome.
We look forward to reading your new book.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So the listener challenge this week is to spend some time one morning in the coming week to answer the following 4 questions. What is right in my life? What is wrong in my life? What's confused? And what is missing? Latasha and I are also going to spend some time journaling the answers to these 4 questions, and we'll be sharing them with you. So don't forget to look for an update to our challenge next Tuesday and do it yourself. Let us know how it goes by reaching out to us on social media. Find us on Instagram at IKR Podcast, and you can always shoot us an email at IKR@crossroads.net. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our music to Mae Klingler. You can find more from Mae at mayklingler.com and on Spotify and iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.